In brightest day,
in blackest night.
Walter DeRiley.
Hey, go! Eeyore! Crush your enemies. See them driven before you. And hear the lamentation of the women.
Yes, and welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show, the champions, the local comic book shop. we're broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio and podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com, which Chris and I are going to get to the bottom of one day. I am Slurpee Jones. And I'm joined, as always, by my fabulous co-host, Chris Owen. Hey, Chris.
I'm good. I'm Chris Owen. Slurpee Jones. You know, I'm glad you're here, Slurpee. You know,
glad to be here.
Great to have you here.
Nowhere else I'd rather be than here.
And you know, it's always a pleasure working with you. And of course, we do have our to my left, we have Shecky Feldstein here, as always, producing the show. And to my right, we have the young buck, Andrew Roebuck, on the engineering.
Yes. Hey, guys. Hi.
Hey-o. Hi.
It's like we've never done this show before.
Yeah, I think we have.
Impeccable Chris, intro.
Chris, and as always, we are your guys that never done this before.
Yeah. We are your caretakers of Slurpee Jones.
Yeah.
All right, listen.
Welcome to the show.
Walt, it's great to have you back. I know we kid you a little bit about being Slurpee and all, but it is great to have you back. I know you're
you know, I feel like I'm at like one of those, you know, $9.95 buffet places that don't have sneeze guards. But that's why you pay the extra little bit so they have sneeze guards.
Yeah. We need slurp guards.
Yeah. We do need slurp
guards. Sorry,
I need a visor. I need like an accountant's visor. I just keep my head down.
Listen, just so the listenership knows, I will be slurping it away up until about the new year, right, guys?
Yes, yes. And then come the new year, hopefully everything will be great.
No slurpy Walt.
All right.
But for now, we'll have to put up with it.
All right, listen.
All right.
We are here to talk about comics. This is a show about comics and local comic book industry, and of course, the local comic book store.
Of course, which we champion.
So let's get right down to brass tacks. Do we have any sponsors for New This Week?
Always, Chris. New This Week brought to you by Daylight Savings, a superhero of a different sort, a terrible sort that cuts off your daylight.
Oh, that's true, yeah. Oh, well. The Daylight Savings Monster.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What's he saving it for?
I have no idea. Yeah. Well, we're no longer in that, right?
No.
No.
No. Or is that start now? How does that work anyways?
We're in standard time now.
We're in standard time. No. So when we do it in the summer, that's daylight savings.
Yeah, we spring ahead.
Oh, all right.
We fall back.
Oh, okay.
That's the way to remember.
Well, I knew that, but I never knew which one was daylight savings. If the fall / winter portion was daylight or...
Let's agree winter sucks when the days get shorter. How about that?
That is darn
pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Listen.
All right.
We got to talk about comics. This is what we're here for. We got to talk about comics. That's why we're here.
All right, I guess.
So, you know what? Let's start off with I've got DC. We're going to talk a little bit about DC later on the show, of course. Lots of news coming from the DC front. But we're going to start off with Batman Superman number 5.
Number 5.
Now, you know, I'm getting a little tired of gimmicks. I got to tell you, I'm getting a little tired of this stuff because Batman Superman number 5, they printed it in the, I don't know how to describe this, in the long format. So you know how you open up a comic book?
Long format.
I know a lot of you know, people might like the long format.
Uh-huh.
I, however, like the regular old standard format. So what do I mean by that? Well, you know how you pick up a comic book and it kind of sits in your hand nicely and you turn the pages and you don't have to turn your head or the book?
Right.
Well, this one you got to turn the book as if you're reading it like I don't even know how to describe it. It's like a
Playboy.
Yeah, with the fold out. Yeah,
like a Playboy centerfold, except there's no centerfold. It's just it's just constantly.
Oh, so it's all for nothing then.
It really is. Yeah. And that's
a letdown.
Maybe that's why I don't like it. I feel like I should be getting more out of it.
Yeah, a third flap.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So you're doing a 90-degree tilt.
Right. It's like a landscape. right?
Yes. No, that's a portrait.
No, is it?
Yeah. And then normally we'd read it like a landscape.
That doesn't make any sense. So what landscape would be like longer?
Look, pal, yeah. Just listen to what I'm telling you.
Okay,
right?
I believe
no,
you.
No, I think normally, he's actually wrong, Chris. Yeah.
Normally we would read it like a landscape.
No, right. We don't.
Now it's like.
But each individual page,
no, we don't.
Right, is like a landscape.
Okay. Well, I'm talking about the whole.
Oh, yeah. No. Each individual page is like a landscape now. Normally
okay.
It would be like a
How
portrait.
How about this, Chris? We hold the comic normally like a landscape, but now we're holding it like a portrait.
Yes, I see what you're saying. No. I understand what you're saying. The no. whole thing.
Guys, so can we talk about the book?
No, I refuse. I got to get my way here.
I'm very interested in the dynamics of the comic
rather
than the comic itself.
Mm.
Listen, Superman, Batman, number 5, lots of great stuff going on in here. It's like, I don't even know how to describe it. It's, yeah, you know, there's...
Lots of stuff
lots
going on.
Lots of stuff
is that
going
what you're
on.
To say?
The artwork is great. Artwork is it's awesome. Mongol is in it. I don't want to give too much away, but good comic.
Excellent. Listen, Chris, this is Batman Superman number 5, and it's available at your local comic book shop today.
Excellent. Okay, so I've got 3 Marvel comics. Normally, I like to, you know, do. Two and two, or one and one, or something like that. But I got 3 because I got to rag on Marvel a little bit here. I'm gonna start off with the good one, mm-hmm. which is Amazing X-Men number 1, and this is awesome. This is by Jason Aaron and Ed McGuinness, and this is basically the return of Nightcrawler, which is awesome. So Nightcrawler died, who's a famous X-Man, X character, if you want, as you will, you know, the blue guy with a tail, and he teleports from here to there. And anyway, he died, and now he's back in the new Amazing X-Men series. Even the cover is a cool gatefold cover. It's got his father in it. Azazul is in it. So
Azazul is your father.
It's a great looking book. As always, Ed McGuinness. He didn't phone this one in.
No,
did a great job. Yeah, awesome artwork. Great story. And we've got Nightcrawler swashbuckling on as if he was a pirate, which looks awesome.
Nice.
So,
okay.
So you think he gets asked? Who is your daddy and what does he do?
He does. Hey, who's Jason Aaron?
He's a writer.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, because Jason Aaron, Ed McGuinness.
Yes.
He
wrote that comic.
Yeah, have done great work on Amazing X-Men.
Yes, they did.
Number 1, which is available at your local comic book shop.
Yes, it is. Okay.
Did I miss something?
Yeah, you know, I think he was trying to get me on something, and I kind of re-got him, you know.
Right back at you.
Yeah. Listen, okay, now I'm going to talk about a couple of Marvel duds this week.
Duds.
You know, I don't always like to put down Marvel because, you know, they're good to us all in all.
They pay the rent.
Actually, we haven't received a single dime from them, so that's why I'm ragging on them this week.
Oh.
Listen, the first one I got to bring up is... Captain America, the First Avenger. Remember that movie that came out, like, you know, like two years ago? With, well, yeah, the Captain America movie. Sure, you remember. You saw it. You loved it.
Right.
Listen.
This is the one with Chris Evans in it.
So
hold on. This is a comic about it?
Well, it's not a comic about it. It's a comic adaptation of the movie.
Oh. Didn't they do that already?
I guess not. And... Oh. Shouldn't this have come out like 2 years ago?
Before the movie?
So the only thing I can think of is that it's coming out because they've got... Because
Thor's coming out this
week. Thor's coming out this week, and there might be some sort of weird tie-in, and they want to hope for something with that. However, I think more importantly, but again, it's way off because next April the 4th, is the Captain America, the Winter Soldier is coming out.
Right.
But it's just been released and everything. The trailer's just come out in the past week or so.
Yeah.
So I guess it's – you live off the hype, right? Yeah, you have is the hype. But they're rebranding old trash for the new hype.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Yeah, they should have taken that and just titled it Winter Soldier, Captain America. You know, and then
fooled people.
Yeah, and then it's new.
Hey, I've read this somewhere before.
What the heck is going on here? Oh, what the heck?
Oh, listen, you know what? Again, I don't get it. I don't understand what they are doing here. Completely horrible timing.
Yes, horrible timing.
I just don't understand.
All right, Captain America, the First Avenger, number 1 of 2.
One of 2. Yeah, you don't even get the whole thing. You got to buy 2 of them.
Oh, And that's available at your local comic book shop today.
Listen, all right. So the other one I got to talk about here, another comic I really don't understand why it's coming out now, if ever, really. And it seems like these comics are just like, hey, you know what? We got nothing to publish for the next couple months. Let's go into our archives and see what kind of crap we got, and we'll pull it out, and we can maybe talk about this stuff.
Hey, you know what? Back in the archives. Get some crap.
Get some crap going here. Because now we've got Longshot Saves the Marvel...
Okay!
Longshot Saves the Marvel Universe. Now...
Who?
Yeah, exactly. Longshot.
I remember him.
Longshot was a character...
You know how, like, I remember Longshot?
How?
He did that 96-issue miniseries that never sells. And every collection I would buy would have that stupid 6-issue miniseries in it. And I would count him at, like, 25 cents for the whole run.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it just never sold.
But you know what? That 6-issue miniseries, it came out in, like, what, 1985 or 88 or something like that?
Whatever it was, yeah. Long time ago.
Yeah, long time ago. For a while there, it was big money, right? Because Longshot was popular. Yeah, Art Adams did the artwork.
I think for a fortnight.
For a fortnight, yeah.
And then it was done.
So now we've got Longshot Saves the Marvel Universe. And I'm going to say, who cares?
Yeah.
Right? Who cares about Longshot? And, you know, this whole Saves the Marvel Universe, it's been done before. They've done the whole kills the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, have you noticed the Marvel Universe font artwork?
Yeah,
is the same as that Marvel Universe
handbook kind of
handbook
thing. Yeah,
index.
Where it describes all every character ever created. Yeah. Same idea. Yeah, I don't get it.
Oh well, Chris, if I can enlighten you a little bit,
please.
These are a couple guys up in the Disney Tower going,
right.
You know, guys, look. We bought 5,000 stupid characters, and we got 17 Avengers titles and 22 X-Men titles. Let's get some of these old guys up and running.
Right, and you know what? You know what it could also be? Guys, we already paid for all these comics that are already done, and they're just sitting rotting in the back room. Let's at least publish them. Maybe some sap will buy it.
Yeah, some sap.
Exactly.
Maybe something will stick.
Yes.
Is half of this show going to be us doing our dock workers impersonations over here?
Hey, don't you worry about a thing, all right, buddy?
No. All right, hey, look, pal.
Hey, we're unionized, pal.
Yeah.
Hey, look, that was Disney exec talk right there.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about, dock workers. All right, listen, Longshot Saves the Marvel Universe. Is available. Oh, that's number one as well.
That's number one, yeah.
Is available at your
one
local
of
comic
one, probably.
Book store.
Listen, next one I got to talk about here is brought to you by Dark Horse Comics. Now, you like Dark Horse, don't you?
Sure do. All it's right. A good beer.
Well, Dark Horse is putting out a series called Grindhouse, and this one is Bee Vixens from Mars.
Mm.
Now, I don't know what to tell you about it. It kind of looks the way it sounds. It's kind of campy.
Mm-hmm.
It's got some gore in it, and it's got some sexiness to it. If you like, you know,
because they mix well.
Especially
gore and sexiness.
But you know what? If you also like women who have wings and fangs, and
along with
look
their
like
big
bees.
Boobs.
Yeah, well, they have big boobs, and of course they're scantily clad. There's also lots of gross scenes with like maggots and stuff like that.
Mm.
But you know what? It has this grindhousey EC feel almost to it. And I don't really mind it. I think it's a neat book, and I think it's kind of refreshing to see a book like that come out.
Nice. All right. Yeah, it's pretty graphic in there, Chris. All right. Well, what is this called again? Bee Vixens from Mars.
Bee Vixens from Mars.
From Dark Horse Comics.
Yeah.
And that is number two. I don't know how we missed number one.
I know. Crazy.
And that's available at your local comic book shop today.
All right. We got one more here. I've got to talk to you very quickly about one more here. This is All Crime Comics number two.
All Crime Comics.
All Crime Comics number two. So here's what I don't understand here. So it's actually not a bad looking book, all in all.
Yeah.
It's got a really awesome cover by Bruce Timm.
Uh-huh.
Bruce Timm he's got his own sketchbooks out. He was Paramount in doing the original Batman the Animated Series.
Yeah.
He was the art director on that, and that you know, kind of created the look for that. But two things I don't like about it.
Two things. We know two things.
Two things. One of the things is that the book itself is a little larger than normal comic books. And thus might not fit in your regular size, you know, comic bag and board or whatever.
Yeah.
Which maybe now you got to put it on your shelf, which maybe that's what they want.
Yeah.
But anything that isn't a normal comic book size can sometimes scare people away. right?
It hurts. As a retailer,
yeah,
we hate books like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
If we, you know, like, here we go. We'll take the good time and trouble.
Yeah.
To design some stupid cockamamie thing to hold the books nice so when the people come in on a Wednesday, it's made just nice because you don't want it loose flopping around.
No.
You don't want it tight so it's ripping. So you give it a little bit of tolerance, a little bit of clearance.
Yeah.
And then some schmoes come in and they do this.
Yeah.
It can't fit.
No.
Now you're not in the continuity. Now you're sticking it over in a corner somewhere.
That's right.
I don't know. And then they're complaining about, oh, the sales aren't good.
Yeah. You know? I don't get it. I don't get it, you know. And then, so here's the other thing: the inside of the book actually looks pretty decent.
Yeah.
However, it's got three. It's got three chapters to it.
Yeah.
And the second chapter, the art looks nothing like the other two. And
I'm going to go out on a limb and say probably a different artist.
It is definitely a different artist, but not nearly in the same style or the same quality as the other two. I like it. Don't get me wrong. It's just a different, completely different look to it. It's got a little more of a cartoony look, whereas the first and third chapters are a little more crime noirish, which is the way it probably should look.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't get it, but it says it's written by The Art of Fiction. I don't understand that.
Is that like a rapper's name?
Maybe.
Like that's a name?
I don't know. I don't know.
Yo, The Art of Fiction.
AOF. Good old AOF. Art of Fiction.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there. So is that like a studio?
It probably is. Yeah.
And,
but shouldn't it have the studio names and then, you know, and then like part of Art of Studio or Art of Fiction and then list a couple of the names?
Oh, no, it's a good
question. Are they scared to list their names? Is it a crappy book? Like, I don't understand.
It's got a cool cover. I'll give it that. I don't like, personally, this is just a one-off here. I hate the covers that make it look like they're all cracked and beaten up.
Yeah.
But anyway, it does have a cool cover and a lot of crime noir guys, Chris. A lot of that Brubaker, what he started up going up with Fatal now and Criminal
Velvet.
And so all crime. Maybe it's the time.
Maybe. We'll see.
All crime number two at your local comic book shop today.
All right, listen. Those books and more are available at your local comic book store. Let's take a quick musical interlude here. We're going to play, you know, Walt, because you're back, we got to play a little of the old Spider-Man Krantz.
Oh, yeah.
So let's start with the bugle. That was a quick one. I like that. You know what? That was the bugle, and I think that was meant to be like, you know, when you're at the Daily Bugle, kind of like the fast-paced life of the editor, editorial suite. And
Everything is, you know, and people are on the move.
That story.
A lot of energy.
Yeah. All right. Listen, we are going to talk a little bit more about now, we were talking earlier about DC. I want to very quickly talk about a couple of things here. I want to get the bad news out of the way.
Right?
Renowned DC comic book artist Nick Carty passed away recently. Now,
sad news.
Very sad news. Nick Carty has been around, since, like, he started comics in 1939 at the age of 18.
Good God.
So here's a guy that's been working in comics for a long, long time. And you know what? He helped define the Teen Titans. In fact, he helped define the new costume for Wonder Girl. So you know what?
Yeah, he's been around.
He's been around for a long time. You know, and he worked with guys like Jack Kirby and Wally Wood. He started working on titles like Jungle Comics and Fight Comics.
Yeah.
You know, he's been there
since the beginning.
Yeah, and he was even drafted into World War II in 1943.
Uh-huh.
So you know what, he's been around for a long time. Had a very long and storied career. But wow, you know, unfortunately, he passed away to his ill health. And
one of the pioneers, right?
Yeah, one of the pioneers.
Guys there at the beginning, there through the you know, I guess the most creative era of comics that he was involved in, and you know, some of the greatest creations in pop fiction.
Yep, for sure.
You know, he was involved in, and
you know what? Not only that, he also did a number of he was responsible for a number of what do you call it, movie posters as well.
Uh-huh.
Like it's a mad world.
Oh, right.
And
okay. Yeah.
No. Sorry, I think that might have been Jack Davis. Sorry, I was thinking about somebody else. So, but anyways, but he did do a lot of movie posters as well. And unfortunately, another person did pass away recently. Marcia Wallace, Marcia Wallace, I think it's Marcia, but it could have been Marcia Wallace, passed away. And she was, of course, the voice of Edna Krabappel from The Simpsons.
Oh, so, I grew up listening to stuff like that. You know, yeah, that's terrible.
And, of course, she passed away at the age of 70.
Too young.
She was also, I don't know if you remember the old show Newhart?
Of course. Yeah.
So the Bob Newhart show when he was a psychiatrist.
Oh, you're 70s.
In the 70s.
Yeah.
She played the secretary.
I know the girl. Yeah, I know her.
Yeah,
very
so
well.
She played
the
secretary.
See, I know her through that show and not through The Simpsons because I never watched The Simpsons, right?
But, right. Oh. So you know what? It was really nice. This last, I think it was this last Sunday, or it could have been maybe the Sunday coming up. The Simpsons, you know how Bart does the chalkboard writing every
it's always like a stick. It's always like a one-liner.
Yeah,
know?
Well, in this one coming up, he's going to say, I'll always miss you, Mrs. K, kind of thing.
That's nice.
So really nice touch there, yeah. So anyways, let's get the bad news out of the way.
Yeah, fair enough.
And I know Marty, Shecky, you do have a...
who are we talking about?
I'm talking to you. Mm-hmm. Talking to you, Shecky, you do have a mailbag for us.
I do, but you know what? I want to save it for after we get a little bit... I want to break up our industry news halfway
through.
All right.
The producer has spoken.
Producer has spoken.
I want to do a new thing. You know what? We get into industry news, and then we cut them off right when they're asking for more. And then we hit them.
All right.
Hey, Shecky, thanks for letting us in on that.
Yeah. Good producer.
Because if anything... Mm-hmm. We prepare this show like professionals.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm trying to deceive them and
we
make
sure
them think that.
Sure do.
All right.
Trying to make them think I earn my $0 salary here.
Yeah.
So.
Listen. Mm-hmm. All right. Well. All right.
So what are we going to talk about then?
We're going to go into industry news then.
Okay.
You know, we gave our little notation. Yes. Well. Okay. Industry news brought to you by the return of Longshot. Can he save the Marvel Universe? Maybe, but will it be a good comic? Not by a long shot.
Hey, ayo. Good one. I like that. I like that. All right, listen.
Zing. Why do they pay us to put down the sponsors?
You know,
every sponsor seems to put themselves down. I don't
understand that.
Yeah,
very
I don't
strange.
Get it.
Very strange. All
Never
right,
got
listen.
A dinner.
Never got a dinner.
A couple bits of news on the Marvel front.
A couple things.
Wolverine 2 has been announced. Considering the box office success of the Wolverine movie, the X-Men, the Wolverine movie, and, of course, they have the upcoming X-Men Days of Future Past movie coming up. You look like you're going to say something.
Yeah. Wasn't there a Wolverine 2? Didn't it go to Japan or something?
Here's the thing. So there was X-Men Origins, which had the origin of Wolverine.
Yeah.
That was sort of like Wolverine number one, but it was actually called Origins.
Oh.
Origins the Wolverine.
Right.
And then they had X-Men... No, how did that work again?
Okay, so
it was X-Men.
There was X-Men 1 through 3. Okay,
yeah.
Then there was Wolverine Origins.
Yeah.
Right. Then there was First Class, X-Men First Class.
Right.
Yeah.
Then there was Wolverine, the Wolverine. Right, which was kind of like the second Wolverine movie.
Yeah. Okay, but
and now they're coming out with X-Men Days of Future Past, and then after that, now is
the
going
Wolverine
to,
2.
Right.
But what's it actually called? What was the first Wolverine movie called?
Wolverine Origins.
It was Wolverine.
It was just Wolverine Origins.
Yeah.
Okay.
And just to add in as well, I believe, because I saw the trailer from X-Men Days of Future Past.
Yeah.
It actually looks like Hugh Jackman Wolverine is actually the lead in that as well. Because the whole trailer is supposed to be that he's shifting kind of back and forth between these Days of Future Past.
Yeah.
And it actually seems like it's focusing around him as a character.
Well,
so this is actually almost an X-Men movie that is still focused around him.
I don't
want. They know where the money is.
Yeah,
well,
you know, I don't want to say too much about that. The original story was great. I'm holding out to see how the actual adaptation of the comic book story holds up.
You mean you're going
to
wait and watch the movie before you start judging it critically all across the forums and everything?
Absolutely.
Oh,
As I always do.
That's kind of, you're one of a million who doesn't take to the forums, you know, right away and, you know, start criticizing harshly on a trailer.
Hey, you know what? Just like I did when it was announced that Ben Affleck was going to be Batman, I said, let's wait and find out.
Right.
I'm doing the same thing for this one as well.
Yeah.
But anyways, so Wolverine 2 will be is in negotiations right now with director James Mangold as well. So.
Yeah. Now, I read something real quickly on it. There's people we've talked about this before on the show. People concerned with, you know, Hugh Jackman's replacement.
Right, right.
How long can Hugh go on?
Yep.
I don't know. You know, like, I was thinking about that a little bit.
Okay.
And a couple of things.
A couple of things.
Is why not write the stories as older
characters,
you know, as you go, right?
Yep.
I mean, there's been lots of examples of comic books that have, you know, a middle-aged Superman and a middle-aged Batman.
Oh, and there's even middle-aged Wolverines out there.
And even a later-age Wolverine, right?
Yeah,
So why not have him, you know, as a 50-year-old Wolverine or something?
Why not?
Like that.
I agree.
But then go the other route and do what they're doing in comics, too. Why not independently cast another guy as a young Wolverine?
And get the audience ready for him, right? Why not?
Sure. I mean, even in the same movie, you can have the young Wolverine playing the young Wolverine. And you can have...
Well, it won't really work because in X-Men First Class, Hugh Jackman as Wolverine has a cameo.
He does have Hugh Jackman as he is. Yeah.
However...
All right, throw that out the window.
However,
right?
You know, okay, but
forget about it.
But it's not a bad idea because they still do it with, even in X-Men First Class, it's a younger Professor X and a younger Magneto.
Right.
So it's a good idea.
Yeah.
In theory.
Yeah.
Listen...
goes back, though, to that thing we talked about, and I think it's a mixed bag. I think there are, right now, with all the principal actors playing all the principal characters, I would say there are a few that's going to be a tough transition because they own the part. Namely, let's say Downey Jr. with Iron Man.
Right, yeah.
But there are other, you know, like if they got a new Johnny Storm. Who would notice?
And they're going to,
right? But you know what I mean?
And if they got a new Thor, would it really be that bad?
No, I mean, they had a new Spidey. I didn't notice.
Right, exactly. You know, you're right. There are a couple people that have really taken ownership of that character.
Right.
But
Superman, how many Batmans have there been?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so.
Yeah.
The trick, I think, is. Sorry to stay on this.
Right.
Is you got to get the characters with the mask.
Right.
See, because you can't see the guy underneath.
Can't see it is, yes.
So what they should do is make everybody wear, like, a Mexican wrestling mask.
That would be great.
That kind of stuff,
you know, especially seeing, like, Storm and, you know, Ms. Marvel and stuff like that. It would be great.
Exactly.
And I'm sure it would probably fulfill a lot of people's fantasies, too.
See, you're killing two birds with one stone.
Exactly, that's right. Listen, all right, you know, speaking of things working in theory... there's going to be a new Ms. Marvel coming out in 2014. Ms. Marvel number 1 is going to be coming out from G. Willow Wilson and artist Adrian Alfona, who did Runaways. And they're going to introduce the world to a new Ms. Marvel who's going to be a young Muslim woman. Now, formerly, the title of Ms. Marvel was formerly held by Carol Danvers, who's the current Captain Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
The new Ms. Marvel will be the first Muslim character to get her own ongoing solo series at Marvel. So
do you think that's why this is happening? Is it just another first? You know, Marvel trying to claim all the firsts?
Probably.
Trying to get a new demographic.
Yes, absolutely.
Demographic.
Absolutely.
Uh-oh, engineer piping.
Engineer has something to say here.
Well, the writer of the title is, in fact, Muslim as well. I did some research on it.
Right,
and she's a female Muslim. So it has more authenticity, and it doesn't seem like it's purely a crash grab, in my opinion.
Okay,
hold on for a second, though. The execs could shut that down anytime they want to. They could say, no, you're not going to write the story like this.
Right.
But obviously they either find it very compelling because she's so attached to it as a human, or they're just saying, yeah, it's a good angle. We haven't done this yet. Do it.
I got to chime in with political
You got to sound like a dock worker, though, because you got to be an exec.
No,
yeah.
It won't work because... It sounds like it's being written for non-Muslims consumption.
Right.
Right? Because I don't know. I mean, I'm not a I don't follow religious doctrines or something like that. But,
right.
I mean, from what we're reading in the papers and stuff like that, having a Muslim woman, the only women in comics are predominantly bought by men.
Right.
And all women in comics, if they're successful, are curvaceous, scantily clad type of thing.
Right.
The whole Islamic thing about, you know, a veiled woman, a
being covered
woman,
up, and, yeah, yeah.
and that kind of stuff is kind of what I believe that religious doctrine kind of embodies.
Right.
And so here you're having, you know, a Muslim woman says she's Muslim, but she's wearing a skin-tight thing and showing off.
Right.
Doesn't make sense. So it's almost like it's written for, you know, me and you.
Right.
And, you know, Muslims might take offense if that's not kind of...
Yep.
You know
yep.
what I mean?
Yep. Like, I understand what you're saying completely. And I think, you know, here's where I want to say, honestly, so I want to say that I think it's a very bold move.
Right.
And I think it's a great idea in theory. The pessimist, the horrible, critical person in me says, this is a cash grab. Right, because, you know, this would be the first Muslim female character in comic book dumb that's going to be a hero,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, it's being done by Marvel, so it's going to be a great big gangbusters and all that. I don't know what it was like when the first black superhero appeared, Black Panther appeared in, like, 1965, 1968,
yeah, 65,
somewhere.
65.
65. I don't know what that was like. I don't know if people were thinking the same thing now as we're thinking with this Muslim female character as they were back then.
Not at all.
Were they saying, this isn't going to work. This is a cash grab.
Yeah.
Or were they actually saying, hey, this is great because now people are going to be represented in a new way.
No. I agree. I'm telling you, yes. I agree. But I think maybe the analogy will be, how can I say this? When the black characters were written in the late 60s and early 70s, they're written more for the white audience in a very stereotypical blaxploitation style.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And this is my worry is the target audience for this Muslim female character Muslim females?
Right.
Or is it, you know, males, North American non-Muslim males?
Right,
you know,
right.
Like,
right.
Not North American
Muslim. I guess we're going to have to wait and see when it comes out and we can judge it then.
Fair enough.
Right?
All right.
Then. All right, listen. Is it time for mailbag yet?
I think it might be time for mailbag.
Okay.
Time for mailbag.
Hit us up with mailbag.
Mailbag coming to you from Antonio in St. Catharines.
Antonio!
Prepare yourselves. You got to actually listen to this one. I actually feel like he went very in-depth with what he's getting at.
Okay.
All right. And I feel like it's geared more towards Chris because Walt probably doesn't know anything even though it's addressed to him.
Okay.
Dear Chris and Walt, I'm a lover of all things silver screen when it comes to Marvel and DC. Heck, I even watched Daredevil twice.
All right.
Kudos to you there,
Antonio.
Good for you.
Don't ever get that time back.
Yeah. But will there ever come a point to stop the reboots, stop the hero actor changes, or will these comic films keep turning over the lead and lead the box office for the next 50 years? Where's the shelf life?
Okay, so correct me if I'm wrong. Is he saying, you know, hey, what? Hey,
is this going to be
when's it all going to end?
When's all the comic books going
to
end?
Is the cycle going to? It was very relevant to the Wolverine thing, so I wanted to have it after that.
Yeah.
13 years, Wolverine. You know,
yeah.
Does Wolverine die with Hugh Jackman, or can they just find someone else and write it more creatively?
Okay.
I guess to keep it going. There's a lot of truth to this, right? How many times can you reboot Spider-Man and Superman, right? With different actors and
you
stuff.
You know what? I'm going to say
many times.
I'm just going to say many times.
Oh.
You know. However, I think it depends on the writing. You know, Walt and I have talked about the character of Conan in the movies being, you know, hey, nobody could ever replace Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know, they tried to do a reboot of Conan and it bombed. Now, did it bomb because it was the actor, or did it bomb because it was just poorly done in general, right? You know, mm-hmm. I think
it was poorly done because it wasn't Arnold.
That's the other thing, right?
So
does that mean these films will establish the leads who become associated with the face of the character, and then everyone after that can never match?
This is what I think is going to happen. I think it's all in flux now. I think it's new territory. I think the studios haven't figured out the optimal reboot time frame,
right?
Because, you know, what is a generation? Is it 15, 17 years? Is it 22 years?
Right.
At what point in the generation are you entering? Generation?
It might be 8 years.
My point is they haven't figured it out yet.
Mm-hmm.
8 years wouldn't be it because if they choose their initial actors, you know, properly, mm-hmm. they're thinking 3, 4, 5 movie yeah. deals, right? Yeah. So it won't be
yeah,
8 years.
Yeah, but they
it'll
come
be...
out every 2 years now with the same actor. It rolls but, over and, okay, so, you know, okay, yeah, 4 movies right, later, you might actually be oh. 8 years.
But with, like, for example, with the Amazing Spider-Man movie, so they rebooted the Spider-Man franchise. And mm-hmm. I thought they did a great job at it. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. I liked it better than the original ones.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That was it, was that 2011?
2011.
And that was what, 10 years then?
About
after the first
maybe
one?
10, maybe 11 years, somewhere around there.
Yeah, okay. All right.
You know, so
yeah.
I think the 10-12 year mark is a great, great jumping off point for mm-hmm. for new actors to take on new roles.
Yeah. Yeah.
However, I think if the actor is still capable. And mm-hmm. they've done a great job, such as Hugh Jackman. Like, I would right. not care one iota if somebody else played Storm, right?
Right.
If Halle Berry was replaced, I don't care. If mm-hmm. if James Marsden was replaced as Cyclops,
you know,
I wouldn't care.
It's also relevant, though, to what the character they're playing. So, like, let's say you look at Spider-Man, Tobey Maguire. He can't keep up a character for 15 years who's supposed to be a young 20
right.
or a teen.
Yeah. Right.
It's just you can't
right.
do that.
Yeah.
You know, Hugh Jackman, between going from early 30 to mid 40 to late
but
40,
hold on,
it's kind
Marty.
Of a...
But hold on, remember what yeah. we were discussing before, too. Why not write the Spidey stories as a young adult? Why not write the Spidey stories...
But is that what you want to see? Do you want to see a middle-aged Spider-Man? Right? Like...
You do. If
we
the story
do, maybe.
Is good. But,
right.
Okay, but you're... Like... By doing the teenage Spider-Man, you're not doing the origin story every time. You're not doing him getting bitten by a spider every time.
No,
at
right,
one point,
right.
you're just assuming that the people that are into that property
right.
understand.
Yeah.
And you can tell maybe a more mature story or something
well,
like that.
Well, I've always liked it when – and I thought the Incredible Hulk movie did this well.
No.
Not the Ang Lee one, but the one with Ed Norton. They kind of – They told the origin of the story. They told the origin of the Hulk in, like,
the
opening
credits. So it's 2 minutes
it
or
was
less.
Done in, like, 2
yeah.
minutes.
Yeah.
Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, done. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think you can do that with Spider-Man because people, everyone knows he was bitten
yeah.
by radioactive
whereas,
spider, right?
Whereas you had the new Superman movie, and it was 20 minutes of the first film was going through extensive pre-Superman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
again, it was footage that you never saw in any other film because it gave yeah. you a lot of
Krypton. Trying to do something completely different, right?
But at the same time, yeah, you're feeding people, again, what they already probably have seen in
yeah.
other films.
By the way, the best sequence of any Superman movie ever made was that sepia Tony Marlon Brando where he's talking where he's doing the history of Krypton.
Oh yeah
late in 70s
the,
it's kind of
yeah.
a red hue to the,
and,
the film
and it's in like the Fortress of Solitude
yeah
kind of
and all that
yeah,
kind
yeah.
of stuff. It was really weird
yeah.
and
yeah.
I loved that. That was good.
So anyways, I hope
well,
that's
good then.
Oh okay,
right,
just thought I'd let
well,
you know.
I
Antonio
think,
was that his name?
Yeah.
I think there. It depends on a lot of factors.
There's
but,
so many factors.
But
yeah.
I don't. In general, though, what I am going to say is, I think there may come a day in the near future where people are tired of superhero movies, but not necessarily comic book movies. If that makes any sense. Like, I don't think
right,
that.
Okay.
I don't think that there's going to be a day when, you know, hey, like movies like Men in Black or even, you know, History of Violence, things like that. Those were, both of those were originally comic books.
Right.
Yet they weren't superheroes. So I don't,
yeah.
I think there's still lots of comic
book
movies.
I think what you're
out.
Saying, comic books as a medium has just evolved into more than just superheroes. And so it will always have a good story.
Right.
But superheroes is I think the topic that we're saying and, you know, the turnaround between changing over into
yeah.
new actor, and so in that case, maybe there will become a tipping point where people are just, you know what, I've seen 18 Supermans. It's
right,
kind of
right.
the point.
Yep,
right?
and yeah. if, but I think it'd be nice. I mean, it's nice now because Marvel is coming out with all these different characters that we've never seen before.
Right.
Whereas, okay, you
like
know,
Longbow.
Long yeah. shot, you mean?
Long shot, I meant.
People
that's
you don't
I meant.
Care for enough that you forget their name.
But
yeah.
you know what? Like, I'd like to see a DC movie of Wonder Woman, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, exactly.
I'd like to see. There's lots of DC yeah. characters that have not done well on the big screen.
No.
And it'd be great to see that. So mm-hmm. I think that's – does that answer – I think it answers Antonio's
is
question.
Antonio?
You know what? I think Antonio needs to write in with a completely new letter of whether we've satisfied him or not.
Perfect.
All right.
All right. Listen, let's have a quick musical interlude. Walt, here's an oldie but a goodie for you. I know you love it. The old Aquaman song.
Aquaman. Aquaman. No one greater than
the danger is, that's where he'll be. Always defending you, yeah, you and me. Aquaman. Can always depend on mankind's truest friend, Aquaman.
Now, Chris, I read somewhere that the singers wore Speedos while they sang that.
I'm sure they did.
Yes. Well, yeah. Just for the authenticity of it.
Helps
to
sing the song, I'm sure.
Yes, it does. All great right. song. Listen, great tune.
Marty, Shecky, do we have any industry news sponsors?
Absolutely we do, Chris. This is brought to you by Halloween, the late Halloween.
Oh.
Because when you hit 16, you start needing excuses to wear capes and adorn foam chastity belts.
Oh, well, that is true. Yeah.
But then again, once you're after 16, foam is just better because then it's easier to remove. You know,
that's true.
You don't need
that. No, you don't need that anymore. Yeah, I agree. All right.
Encumbrance.
Yeah. All right, listen. Talking about movies and live action stuff and
we talk
superheroes.
About lots of things, Chris.
Well, we talked about live action comic book stuff. I got a couple things here I want to talk to you about.
Couple things.
So as you know, so DC, or well, yeah, DC, they put on, you know, the, what do you call it, Smallville TV series.
Yes.
And then they have now the Arrow TV series.
Arrow,
which apparently is doing very well. I have not actually seen it, but our young Buck is saying it's a good show.
No.
Apparently, there's a Flash TV show on the way as well now.
Ooh, nice.
And now, believe it or not, the CW, who's the network that kind of does a lot of these DC series,
yeah,
they're now on their way to creating a Hourman TV series.
I am Hourman.
Hourman. Now, Walt, you're this.
Is that going to be an hour long show?
Yeah, you know, I had that right, but I let it go because I go, man, why would I say that?
Yeah, you know what? You did the right thing.
You know what? Buck just needed to be on like the dun-dun-s. You need to have that sound effect. Then it would have been much more.
More like a gong.
Yeah.
Listen,
that Chuck Barris and the gong. The gong show. Yeah,
it was a good show. No, it's terrible.
June, the dancing machine. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun. Anyways, so sorry. Golden Age Hourman. Oddly enough, I don't want to spend too much on this topic, but I find it interesting that they're choosing a character where a man used to have to take a pill to have have strength, super strength for an hour, and that's basically what his character was, right? And so
it's like Roger Ramjet.
But do we really want to have a character?
You mean like Popeye, maybe?
Spinach.
Yeah. But do we really have a character that's taking steroids in order to prove his strength now?
Exactly. Or Viagra. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of pill you take.
Isn't that the world we live in, though?
Do we really want to enforce it or help create this world? I don't know. I think it's interesting. But listen, on that same topic,
Hourman, though. Hold on.
Yes.
Oh, that's the character that they're.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, I wasn't listening to you.
What do you think we're talking about?
Totally got lift. I thought he was talking about Smallville and The Flash. And
there's going to be an Hourman TV series.
Oh, all right. Where the hell was I?
I have no idea.
Okay, well, really bad idea.
Does that retainer run into your ears, too? Wait.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah, you're right, though, Chris. That doesn't sound...
Bad idea. I think...
Hey, what, though? Hey, you never know. Like it seems like every one of those CW things is kind of culty and undergroundy
unless they make him like some sort of crazed maniac who's like addicted to the
pills.
Yeah,
but then he's going to be like a junkie or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I agree with what you're saying. They're going to really have to dim down the fact that it's like a guy popping pills to accomplish things.
Yeah, like isn't that going to support drug abuse? I don't know. I'm just asking. Yeah. I don't know.
Or it'll cause sympathy towards it. Like if it's actually an inadequacy sort of.
So then it's that's a whole other topic in on its own.
Oh,
talking
yeah,
about
is.
Like insecurities, especially in male.
And especially if it's in the U.S. where everyone's hooked on ADHD meds to stay up and pull all nighters and finish their exams
or play Call of Duty.
man, can I go home and play Call of Duty yet or what? I'm getting edgy.
Wow.
All right, listen.
All right.
On the same topic, Walt, I got a question for you here.
So, go ahead.
So there was on, I think it was on Comics Alliance. They did some guy wrote a top 10 worst live action comic books. So, you know, in TV series, you know, mainly or in movies.
All right.
Right? So, which TV series? Like, so basically, there's a comic book series that came out.
Like, poorest adaptations
adaptations of comic books.
Okay.
So, I'm just going to throw it right
for TV or for
both.
Movies?
Just anything in live action from, you know, going from animated to real life.
Going from cartoon, comic book to real life.
Okay.
So, I'm going to say, so. I want to see if you can name any of them. Like, I'm just curious. What would you think are some of the poorest ones?
Poorest ones.
Yeah.
Poorest ones.
Worst ones ever. I'm curious if you even thought some of these were even made.
I'm going to say the first one I'm going to say is Rhoda.
I'm pretty sure Rhoda was not a comic book.
It wasn't?
No.
All right, then. Okay, give me one.
Okay.
Just get me going.
All right,
I got to get going.
The Tick.
Huh?
The Tick.
The Tick.
The Tick. Do you remember that comic book by Ben Edlund?
Yeah, the New England comic one.
Yeah, New England comics. Yeah.
Well, I like the animated series, though.
Animated series
was
good.
So they made what?
They made a live-action TV series of that.
They did?
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, terrible.
And it starred, what's the guy's, Putty from...
Now I remember.
Yeah.
Oh, that was here and there, like, it was so quickly.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You're never going to guess these.
Hold on.
Rhoda wasn't a good guess?
Rhoda was not a good guess. Okay.
All right, go ahead. Give me another one.
I'll jump in when I think
I have one.
I'm going to skip over the next one because there's debate over that one.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to say, okay, then there's a Blade TV show. Now, they had the Blade movies come out.
Yeah.
And after the second one, they realized this was a great concept and everything. Tried to do a TV series.
Yeah.
Wah, wah, wah.
Okay.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Just absolutely
hey,
terrible.
I got one.
Okay.
They did Conan, the TV series.
They did?
Yeah.
They
didn't make the list?
But that's not on the list. No, it's actually not too bad. Considering that one was terrible and it's not on the list.
Yeah. Oh, these must be bad.
These are bad.
Yeah.
All right. Now, this next one, I'm going to give you a hint.
Okay.
It actually had two movies.
Chris, one point. Don't say it's The Incredible Hulk.
No.
Oh,
two TV movies?
My boy Lou Ferrigno's safe?
No, Lou Ferrigno's safe.
Oh.
This one had two movies. One had Adrian Barbeau in it.
Swamp Thing, baby. Are you kidding? I was a young buck, like our young buck over here to my left.
Yeah.
And so, Adrian Barbats, we used to call it.
Adrian Barbats and Heather Locklear was in the other one.
Yeah, I'm not. Adrian
so,
was
Swamp
mine.
Thing movie, two of them. Can you believe that? Two
wow.
of them.
Wow. Yeah. I really liked the first one, though.
You liked two things about it.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
I did.
Hold on. So you were more into the male than Heather Locklear in this show. Mm-hmm. Is that what you just said?
No, he was more into Adrian Barbeau.
Adrian Barbeau, she of the big hair.
Big hair.
Yeah. You know, that was in the 80s. Yeah.
What's wrong with Heather Locklear, though?
I liked Adrian Barbeau better. What the heck?
Oh, okay.
All right.
It's a Betty Veronica situation we're in here, obviously.
Kinda.
Obviously.
Okay. Birds of Prey.
Birds of Prey.
Had a short-lived TV series. I think it lasted about four or five episodes. I remember watching it, and I liked it, but it was terrible. I got to say, it was terrible.
Sylvester in that? The cat?
Yes.
Was he?
Yeah, not even close. No.
I'm thinking of the wrong Birds of Prey.
Yeah, wrong Tweety Bird.
Yeah. All right.
Now, well, you might remember this one. In the 70s.
Oh, yes.
In the 70s, there was an Amazing Spider-Man TV show, live action.
I don't remember it.
No?
No.
I've got a copy of one of the episodes at home, actually, on VHS.
God. Really?
On VHS, yeah. And it was terrible.
Now, what part, do you remember what part of the 70s? Was it like 78? Was it 72?
I want to say like 76.
Okay. Yeah,
somewhere around there.
Was Evel Knievel ever in it?
No. Well, I shouldn't say no. I don't know. I only saw one episode.
All right.
Did Spidey go to the disco?
Yeah. No, but he was fighting guys at the docks. Speaking of dock workers.
Oh, yeah.
And in order to, because of course they had to try to show him like climbing walls and stuff.
Uh-huh.
You could see like the wires that were pulling up the side of the buildings.
Oh, they couldn't even get rid of the wires.
It was like shooting rope out of his hands instead of like, you know,
nice.
Like rope.
Nice.
Yeah, like rope.
Okay. But then, hold on.
Yeah.
I'll back that up.
Beep, beep, beep,
beep,
yep.
beep. So do we know how many episodes were made of this thing?
If I had a computer in front of me, I would be able to tell you these things.
Okay.
However, I do not.
Now, my question is this. Obviously, I'm going to just assume there were six or ten or even a pilot maybe but only,
there's
right?
a pilot, maybe like six or seven yeah. episodes.
Why isn't that known more? Like, you know, how big Spider-Man yeah. is and yeah. how, like, why wasn't a DVD ever made or you know, yeah. that kind of yeah. stuff. It's yeah. puzzling that something so cool, so obscure, so terrible
yeah.
isn't living the high life right
absolutely,
now
absolutely.
And living off of its terrible and camping and crappiness.
You know what? You're absolutely right. It should be. Right. It absolutely should be.
Checky,
get on
make
that
a note there. We're going to call them and we're going to license yeah. that.
All right.
Make a note. Don't do what he just asked me
don't,
to do.
Don't do what Donnie don't yeah. does. All right. Listen. Flash Gordon. Apparently there's a short-lived TV show in 2007 of the Flash Gordon. And you know what? I didn't know it existed, so we'll just skim over that. Now, the next one here, Walt, I can't say I have a soft spot for it, but I think under the right circumstances, they're kind of right because their next one they're going to say is Lois and Clark. Now, that was that TV show.
Oh, I grew up with that.
Terry Hatcher and that guy.
Dean Cain,
thank you.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Wasn't that supposed to be good?
It yeah. was good. Lasted for a lot of seasons. However,
so why did they make the list?
I think because
I've seen some reruns in the past couple of years.
Oh yeah.
Oh good God, it's terrible.
Well, I was gonna say apparently it wasn't too bad at the time, but mm-hmm. I don't know yeah. how much Superman was actually in the show.
But it's
right?
Lois and Clark.
But yeah, I don't know. I think he was more concerned with the fact there wasn't a whole lot of Superman in it.
Ah,
so okay.
It's a character study on the alter ego. Well,
yes. Now, we have three more to go through here.
All right.
You're not going to know what this next one is. Night
sure
Man,
I will.
Nightman from Malibu Comics. Do you remember Malibu
I
Comics?
I remember Malibu Comics. I don't remember Nightman.
Nightman. Yeah. It's hard to believe that Malibu Comics was so popular at one point. They had a yeah. TV show.
You know what? They should have made a Night Nurse TV
yeah,
show.
Yeah, I would watch that.
Now, there was a Night Nurse movie, Chris. I have it if you want to borrow okay. it. That's
think,
a good one.
I think the Adults Only video wants it back.
Oh, really? Yeah. They went under.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Listen, Mutant X, basically based on the Mutant X, X-Factor, X-Mutants, all that
stuff. They
made
a TV
yeah,
show?
Yeah, it was like a short-lived TV series. Didn't
where the hell have I been?
Now, the other one, the last one, I've saved the last one.
For last.
For last.
That's what I'm
saying. I actually saved the second one for last.
Okay.
Because I kind of disagree with it.
Can you give us a hint? Can you have me
name the most popular superhero TV show of all time?
Of all time?
Of all time.
Of all time.
Of all time.
Of all time.
Of all time. Batman.
Batman.
Batman, the TV series.
The 1966
one?
The Adam West one, they're saying, was number, well, I guess number eight, number nine, because they did it back in.
Right.
And you know what? I completely disagree with it. Completely disagree with it. Batman, the TV series, they're saying is one of the top 10 worst comic book related live action wow. series of all time.
Well, you know, here's the thing. You can look at it a couple of ways.
Okay.
Mm. One is you could look at it like entertainment value, and yep. kids were, you know, enjoyed it, and it was popular. So it got good ratings.
Right, right.
But if you look at it from a comic book Batman fandom perspective,
right.
they hated that thing. That thing put Batman back
right. okay.
half a decade.
And that's – okay. Yeah. In that article's defense, that's exactly what they said. They said right. that show put Batman like – back 20 years
yeah.
because nobody gave two craps about Batman for 20 years because of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until Tim Burton came out with his Batman movie
right.
that people started caring about Batman again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
yeah.
Now, having
well,
said that,
you know, not to Tim Burton's horn, but I think guys like Neil Adams
oh,
though,
that's true too,
were
yeah.
making the change in the comic books
right.
in the early
70s. You're right.
But that was only for the niche comic crowd. So
right.
they were getting the proper Batman.
But
the general populace, all they had was a syndicated Batman show.
To know about.
So they weren't getting the new updated darker Batman that Adams
right.
and the boys were making.
Now, in the show's defense, though, uh-huh. I'm going to say, because I disagree with this list.
Yep.
In the show's defense, let's not forget that the comics that DC was publishing in the 60s when the show came out were a lot like the show. They had giant pennies and strange contraptions, and it was a campy thing, like
yeah.
you know, Batman was fighting rainbow people, and you know, like it was a campy comic at that time. it was Batman and Robin, and it was campy, and it was fighting giant monsters, and it wasn't a dark series like the way Neil Adams had re-envisioned it.
Right. You're right. Like, it took over basically what DC handed to it in, say, 1965.
Right. And right, so, you know, in that sense, it was perfect for its time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, fair enough. Now, it mirrored what comics were doing.
Right. Now, I got to say, you know, like it or not, it mirrored it. So, you know, hey, I don't like the way Wonder Woman is right now. So if they came up with a Wonder Woman show, I'm going to say, oh, you know what? It's a terrible show. But you know what? It may replicate it perfectly. Doesn't necessarily mean it's bad.
No, I understand.
Right?
Yeah. So, wow. Good list.
Yeah, interesting list. This was on Comics Alliance. We only got a few minutes left here. I do want to talk very quickly about two more things. Speaking about DC, DC is moving out west. Now, as you may or may not know, DC has its offices in New York City.
In New York
with Marvel.
Yeah.
And they're moving to California. Now, sorry, go ahead.
You know who hates that? The boys at Midtown.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
Midtown Comics.
Yeah, I'm sure they
do. You know, on Times Square there.
Yep.
We've been to that place.
Yeah.
Packed. You know, Chris, you and I and Shrekky and the kid here, we all, you know, we support the local comic book shop.
Mm-hmm.
And we promote and champion the local comic book shop.
Yeah.
Here's a local comic book shop that had, you know, Jeff Jones.
Yep.
What's his name? Lee? Spike Lee? What's his name?
Jim Lee.
No, Spike Lee.
These guys were coming
all
in every Wednesday.
Guys. All the top guys.
Yeah, they were coming in every Wednesday having impromptu press conferences at the local comic book shop.
How cool
is that?
Awesome.
So the good news there is a California local comic book shop is going to reap the benefits of that, I hope.
Right. I'm sure. I would hope so.
Yeah.
You know, I think that Joe Quesada, who's the editor-in-chief at Marvel, he had a letter basically stating, you know, he doesn't like the idea. It's not that he doesn't like, you know, it's not that he doesn't like DC or anything like that. But you know what? They were the distinguished competition, as they like to call them. And although they were the competition, they were like, they're like brothers, right? You know, fighting for the same dollar from their parents.
Yeah.
You know, and here's two giants in the comic book industry sharing in the same city. And like it or not, they were both fighting for the same thing.
Yeah.
They're fighting for readership, and they're trying to promote comics, trying to promote readership in general.
Competition, if it's done right, is a win-win for everybody.
Absolutely.
And a win-win for the fans.
But the president of DC, and was it DC or was it – it could have been Warner Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
DC Entertainment president Diane Nelson said that the decision to move the publishing wing of the company was one of just practicality, because basically every time they did something, there would have to be two of it, because there's one in California.
It's funny, though. It's funny. Like, we're probably going to just end with this topic, Chris, because we're running out of time. But I got to add of the two companies, Marvel and DC, New York is ingrained in the Marvel comics.
Yes.
But it's almost non-existent in the DC comics. It's almost like Marvel can't move out of New York.
No.
Because, you know, their stories
are
New York.
Marvel is New York.
Marvel is New York.
Yeah.
Spidey is New York. Daredevil is New York.
Yeah.
FF is New York.
Yeah.
You know, Baxter, all that kind of stuff. DC is, you know, Metropolis and Central City and
Gotham. And Keystone City.
It's odd.
But you know what? And that works two ways. And I know we're running out of time, but that works two ways, because you know what? I remember talking with people about it, and it's a great thing that Marvel has New York, but it's also, how great is it to be able to get away from New York, get away from Chicago, get away from everything, and go to something completely different, like Gotham, like Metropolis, like you know, whatever it happens to be.
Yeah, but you know, there's that old saying, you got to relate to your characters, and you know, if they're living in Brooklyn and you're living in Brooklyn, and you know, like Winfred Morales there, he's living in Brooklyn. That's a great place for a Spider-Man guy to live in.
No, you're right. You're right. Listen, great topics, great conversation. We're running out of time, unfortunately. As always.
All right.
I know it's not Winfred Morales, but whatever he said. It's Miles Bradford. Not Bradford either. Listen, we have run out of time, unfortunately. Listen, thank you for listening to Comic Culture. We are broadcast on 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio. Please go out and support your local comic book radio comic book store and have yourself a great day.
Yeah, and support your local comic book radio show by going on to comicbookdaily.com. Click on the podcast link, scroll down, add your comments, please, at the bottom. Go out and support your local comic book shop.
And have a good day.